circuses and welcome to episode 115 of CNBC, the podcast about enjoying beer. I'm Mike.
And I'm Chris. In today's episode, we have several more beers from Clown Shoes Beer out of Boston and Windsor, New England.
Which, according to the interwebs, we believe to be a subsidiary of Harpoon Brewery. Oh, that's a beautiful sound. Still works.
This one is called Cosmic Waffle Belgian Style IPA.
Cosmic Waffle. Is that because it's varying between two flavor types, or does it taste like a waffle?
I think it's a play on the Belgian waffles.
Oh,
Belgian IPA.
I outsmarted myself. It was the obvious. I wonder what the cosmic part is.
Why does it smell like whiskey?
Oh, that's because I put whiskey in all the glasses before we used
it. Is that what
beer.
You used to clean them out?
Yeah, I used whiskey to disinfect the glasses. I don't smell whiskey. I'm not smelling anything.
I don't know what I smell then.
I smell
hazy, dark straw color. White little bubble.
Very tight white. It's got a candy-ish scent. Mild, slight flower, maybe. I'm going to go in for a sip. But yeah, it's very opaque. I cannot see my fingers through the glass. Ooh, that's tasty. Well, that's yeasty. I'm not getting the IPA part, but I'm definitely getting the Belgian part.
Yeah, I don't get...
I'm getting like yeasty
much IPA
banana.
On the nose or on the flavor.
It is like yeasty banana.
Taking a break from contemplating how toasted the perfect waffle board should be for cosmic surfing, we decided to modernize our...
What the fuck
OG
are you saying?
Belgian IPA
recipe. Can you say
recipe?
All of that again? Cosmic surfing?
That's what it says.
Like the Silver Surfer?
Yeah.
If you say yeah to that, I'm going to call you a geek.
I don't know. 7% alcohol by volume.
7% ABVs.
The Cosmic Waffle.
But I'm not getting any IPA on this at all. But I'm getting a little saison-y, a little bit of the yeasty going on.
I get a little bit of banana. A little bit of yeast flavors. But not really strong hops. I get some maltiness.
I got more yeast and malt than I'm getting any of the hops. I don't get any kind of bitter aftertaste at all.
Did we talk about the Clown Shoe story? Did we talk about this brewery?
We did not. And if we did, I don't remember. But before we get into the brewery...
Oh, yeah, we did. Clown Shoes is the result of a joke.
Oh, we just read that off
and
the
spite.
Box. And spite.
Oh, yeah, you read that on the box.
We did. I read that off the box.
That's what it says.
But more importantly, this is a callback to a classic... bit that we had early in our decade ago podcast, episode 17, which I believe was called Whole Beers. And we got to meet the beer, what did you call him? The beer sommelier. Is that, don't they have a different word for that?
Maybe.
But regardless, he was the selector of beers for that. But, they had a custom-made harpoon-brewed beer, and they were going to arrange for us the opportunity to meet said brewer. And for several years, we tried to make that happen, and it never happened. And here we are, full circle, Clown Shoes, unbeknownst to me when I originally acquired it for said Christmas episodes, is in fact part of the Harpoon Brewery.
Yes, Mass Bay Brewing Company.
Sounds like us, MMBC, and we are CMBC. You see how close that is? Like if your name was Mike, that would be our beer podcast name too.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't think you're listening to me. I'm trying to make eye contact with you, and you're completely tuning me out, Chris. It's been a decade. Will you please pay attention to me?
It's a Cicerone.
It's a what now?
The beer sommelier is called a Cicerone.
Is it, you sure it's not Chicarone?
It has the pronunciation. Cicerone.
Is that like cisgender?
No. It's cis beer. Cicerone. And there's a certification for that. They do also call them beer sommeliers, but Cicerone is, there's a special certification for that. And yeah, that's a thing.
So now we've educated the world on Cicerone.
We've educated the world on beer education and knowledge.
Yeah, and clown shoots. So what are we thinking of this as it warms up? Any IPA? I'm not getting any IPA. I do like the beer, though. I would drink more of this.
It's all right. It's no Raging Bitch.
No. But Raging Bitch tastes like it's got the bitter grapefruit thing going on. This tastes like a Belgian.
It does. But just call it a Belgian something.
And it's not like our palates are blasted or anything.
No, I had one beer
that your palate might be blasted.
A couple nights ago. Yeah, but a couple weeks ago. Yeah. A few weeks ago.
I did have a little bit of water, though. So any recent beer experiences, Chris? Six minutes of prep, man. Can make something up here. We were at a Caps game where we saw a goalie make a save without his glove.
Here's what we're going to do. We are going to go to questions from our mailbag.
Good. Let's edit out that real dead air part.
Questions from the CMBC mailbag.
I am so excited. Is it too early, though? Because we have four beers. Should we stagger on? We talked a little bit about the brewery.
Let's do a question, and then...
Well, that would imply someone actually emailed
us. Yes, we have a lot of them.
Did you get the email I sent with the cool new logo? Again, you're ignoring me.
Because I'm looking.
Is this like the episode where we decide to separate? Is this it? Our last episode, 115?
Oh, that's... So you mailed this to the CNBC podcast.
I did.
Info for Sunday. Oh, you... Did you send those to CNBC? Is that what you have as my email address?
No, if I want to do stuff about the podcast, I email us at CNBC Podcast. But I don't know the password.
Okay, the first question we have from our email bag, cnbcpodcast@gmail.com. Chris and Mike, love your podcast. Oh, that was nice. What is your favorite beer style? Oh, that was a simple question. That was from...
Your aunt?
Phyllis... Scram.
Look, it's be like one person actually that we don't know, and you can't pronounce their name correct.
Phyllis Scragg.
This is so Phyllis...
Phyllis Scragg. It's just, that's a... Hard last name. It's a hard sounding last name.
That Phyllis. Could possibly be made up. It could be somebody punking us.
What's your favorite beer style, Mike?
Well, obviously it's IPA. But actually, no, I do think, that's a hard one.
It is hard.
You go first.
It's hard because it depends on the mood. I would say most of the time, if I have a go-to, it's like, a hazy New England or New England
a
IPA.
Juicy IPA.
A juicy IPA.
Yeah.
Like if like I would say 6-7 times out of 10, if I walk into a brewery, that's what I pick up first. But then I might be in a porter mood or a stout mood or a Belgian mood.
Right.
Depending on how I'm feeling, what brewery I go into, what looks good on their menu.
Right.
Like if I look at a menu and it's like, oh, I'm just overwhelmed. Let me just get the hazy and move on. But if I'm like, oh, I really have a craving for something, or I see something that looks really interesting and cool, I'll pick that thing. So, but I would have to say IPAs, hazy IPAs.
So I used to be there. up until very recently, and now I am looking for like unique flavor profiles. I've even opened up to trying sours more often because I just, for so long, I was like, no. But the local craft brewers have gotten so experimental now. Like, I remember one of the things about Dogfish Head that I was not liking is, like, they were really good at making what they set out to make, but I never, like, what was it, that Chardonnay?
Oh, yeah.
That, Cerveza
yep,
thing.
Yep, this tastes like that, and yeah, I don't like it.
Exactly. Like, so I wasn't into, like, novel for the sake of being novel, but, like, hey, here's an interesting flavor profile. I'd like to try that, you know, and that, and when that gets pulled off, I do appreciate it. But Omegang, you know, and those Belgians are some of, like, the best crafted beer. And when we went to that German place, like a good Dunkel, you know, like the good malty thing. I find like, I guess I go on a bell curve, very indecisive, I guess. But it's like, to your point, it's contextual, right? So if it's like in late summer, early fall, I want a Märzen. Yeah. I want a good malty, just easy drinking beer. We get into winter, I want more of that herbal stout, you know, a little bit thicker on the beer, a sipping tea type thing. And then we move into spring, and then I want like the Kolsches and the Pilsners, and then the summers, I want nothing to do with a stout.
Yeah.
Maybe a sour, a shandy.
Yeah. Sours are good in the summer.
Mexican Cerveza.
I really like kind of triples. Stuff. Like if I go into a Belgian style brewery,
triples are fantastic.
That would be my first pick. Like, let me try your triple. If your triple's good, the rest is probably good.
Yep. And yeah, that's the other thing I started doing, like trying to be a little bit more like they taught me when I went to Germany back in the 20th century. Each town is known for a special type of beer, and you go and ask for what they spec. They'll have other types, but like, we make this beer. We're known for this here. You try that. So you go there. What are you guys known for? Our award-winning triple star blah-de-blah beer is amber. I'm like, really? Really? I don't like ambers. So I'd say no. But other than that, I would try it.
Interesting.
Not really.
All right. What is, should we grab the next beer and then do some more questions from the mailbag?
We should absolutely grab the next beer. I will get the next beer.
Awesome.
Why don't you ask me a question while I'm getting the next beer?
All right. Another. Okay. What's a question that someone would ask us, do you think?
A question that someone would ask us?
Yeah, some beer podcasters.
What microphones do you guys use? What makes you think you can do a podcast about enjoying beer? Why don't you know anything about beer? Are these enough questions?
No.
Okay.
I need a real question.
Those are real questions. These are things I would ask us. Like, wait, who the hell are you?
And why do you think you know? That was pretty good.
What microphones do we use?
No.
What makes you think you know anything about beer?
No, the one between that.
I don't remember. We'll have to rewind the videotape.
All right, guys, we got another question from the mailbag here. This one's from Gilberto Suncana.
People are making these fucking names up. Culturally insensitive.
And they asked, what makes you think you can do a beer podcast?
Oh, that was my question.
Yeah.
Can I answer this one?
Yes.
We don't think we can do a beer podcast. The reason we do a beer podcast is we wanted to create, first off, we are amazing early adopters.
Yes.
Because I don't know if you remember this, but when we first started, we were tops of the charts in 2010 or whatever. We would actually go to Apple and we would be the number one food and drink podcast.
In the category, yes.
For a good solid 6 months, because I think we were the only one. However,
we were one of a few.
We had delusions of grandeur. We were ahead of the time where, you know, you had the technology. I like to talk. But what we really wanted was we kept getting beers and we used to play poker, but it was so hard to organize seven dudes to play poker. We're like, why don't we just get together and have beers? But that wasn't good enough. So we had to create an event that we could tell, at the time I was still married, you currently are married, oh, we're not just drinking beer.
Oh, we're doing a podcast.
We're doing a podcast. What? We're going to get sponsors.
Getting away of our podcast?
It's our side gig, man. We're going to make it. This is how we're going to pay for the kids' college. That's why we think we can do a podcast. And by the way, still publishing a decade later. So I think
we've got the same power.
We've proven that's true. And 100 likes on Facebook, and neither of us know 100 people.
Yeah, the truth is we don't think we can do a beer podcast about... No, we do think we can do a podcast about beer because we have 100 and some episodes, so we can.
We can.
Are we experts in beer? No. We're just like...
That's
regular,
why we invite Jeff all the time.
We're regular beer drinking people. We like beer. We enjoy new flavors and tastes in our lives. And we like to talk about it, and we like to hang out, and that's the excuse for the podcast.
Absolutely.
And it's that simple.
And you know what makes it even better is because we drink so much beer, and we're plus 50 now, we don't remember a lot of things we learn, so we can learn them again. So it still stays fresh, just like a good beer. And maybe thinking about that and showing a little beer knowledge, because I listened to an older episode. This Clown Shoes IPA Belgian... The born-on date was back in November. We're in April. The IPA part probably, the hoppy part of it cheesed out, and all that we have left is the Belgian part, so there's no fault of there.
Well, let's see if this could be beer us. Proves it. This is called Space Cake from Clown Shoes. It's a double IPA.
Ooh.
So we'll see if this tastes like an IPA. It's a... A little bit cloud. It's basically the same looking as the last one. A little bit darker colored head.
And a little bit more effervescent, but the head's not holding as tight a bubble.
Yeah, not holding.
The Belgian had the... Ooh, that one's got some bitterness. This one definitely
has
some,
it smells...
Got some raisiny.
Yeah, like that kind of... More like that than fruity hops or anything like that. Or citrus or anything. Or pine.
Yeah, I'm not getting the candy stuff. It's got a bite.
More dank. Oh, yeah. It's a double... What is the
but it's mellow, man.
Alcohols
it's
by
mellow.
Volume on this.
You're going to do what now?
Got to check the alcohols by volume here.
132. But who was our questioner?
That was Gilberto Suncana.
Gilberto
Sanzana, maybe?
We're proving right now why we both are and are not qualified to do this podcast. But we are 9% alcohol by volume. What was the name again? Gilberto?
Gilberto Sanzana, I think, because it has the accent thing over the C.
Now, is that also a hop variety?
Shit. Oh, here we go. Yeah, Sanzana hops.
Yes.
All right. Let's see what they say about space.
See, we
cake.
Do know beer.
This double IPA features robust hop aromas that carry through the strong, juicy flavors of tropical citrus. A sweet and strong malt backbone pairs with the subtle booziness to make Space Cake an approachable double IPA fit for extraterrestrial odyssey. This might actually prove what you said last time, that the hoppiness part
is faded
and what's left is that malt, strong
I'm
malt character.
Totally getting the malt characteristic on this, not catching those citrus notes.
IPAs you generally want to drink pretty fresh.
Yep.
Right?
I fucked up by not drinking.
This is, what did you say? This is like 6 months old. Half a year.
Got this prior to Christmas in anticipation of perhaps seeing you on Christmas.
How would that have happened?
Christmas miracles. You gotta believe, Chris. Plus, like, your name is in Christmas.
Yes.
All of it. Well, not the Topher part. But the part before the Topher is in Christmas.
Christopher Kringle.
Now that's with the K.
Mm.
But you are German.
I am German. But I'm more Polish.
Mm.
Is Kris Kringle German?
I don't know, but that's a very Polish question to ask. Can you edit that? I have Polish friends besides you. Get in trouble for that.
I always joke that my sister, because we did the ancestry thing, is more Polish than me because she's like 3% more Polish.
Wait, so you both did it and had different results?
Yeah. We're not twins.
Now, you're in IT.
Yeah.
For your side gig when you're not podcasting.
Yes.
Same here.
I'm a professional podcaster with a side gig.
To pay the bills.
Of technology, yes.
The idea of big data and the way that we know these algorithms are fed. Like,
should we do a language learning model episode of the podcast?
But were you at all nervous about putting your stuff out there? Like, just with all the data breaches and everything else?
No, especially not now that I'm 50 years old. Like, I don't care. I don't have anything to hide.
Did you do the health marker ones to see, like, what's going to kill you?
No. Because
I have that. I got that was a great Christmas gift. I'm air quoting when I say gift. But, yeah, I was like, find out how you're going to die.
No.
And if you're a descendant of, who was that, Kublai Khan? If you're a descendant of Kublai Khan.
Genghis Khan.
This
Genghis
is why Khan. I'm lactose Consistry. Intolerant is Consistry. Because I'm a Khanate.
Yes. So I don't really have too much more to say about this beer. It's a faded hop double IPA. It's got the strong malt backbone, but it tastes a little bit like an aged barley wine.
Yeah.
That we had the other night.
Yeah. I still, even though the hop part of it may have faded, it's still a nice flavor. I'm not disappointed.
I don't know. It's, yeah. If it didn't say double IPA, I'd be like, oh, that's a nice strong. It'll actually probably taste It's like this wee heavy that I think we have in the lineup.
But
tonight.
It's got a good bitter kick, though. Like, it maintains.
It's got a little bit of that, yeah.
But, like, without overpowering and not being dank. All right, so, I guess I know what we're getting next.
All right.
It's a wee heavy.
Oh, wee heavy.
Wee heavy.
All right, Mike. Next from our mailbag. How do different brewing techniques impact the flavor profiles of beers? That's from Xander Chen.
Xander what?
Chen.
That's made up. All right.
I don't think it's made up.
But. Okay, fine. So how do different brewing stuff... So I'll take a first stab at this. Like, one of the things we learned with Dogfish Head, you know, their 60-minute IPA, they dry hop. So you and I... and the aforementioned Jeff have brewed beer together.
Yes.
And you and I have tried brewing beer with our recently deceased friend.
Yes.
Who just texted you.
Yeah.
Or me. Somebody just got a text. And so we know that there's a series of events that go with the beer. And depending on how long you let things ferment, depending on what types of
grain you
use, depending on what types of sugar you use for the yeast to consume,
how much you filter,
what type of container you use,
how you aerate.
Yes. And then amount of dry hopping. Or
aging
if you
time.
Dry hop.
Yes. There's so many things that can impact the flavors of beers. So that's the answer to your question, Xander. Thanks for sending that email over to the podcast.
Once again, cmbcpodcast@gmail.com.
All right, while I open the next beer.
And for you people under the age of 45, email is a way that people communicate in the professional workspace that aren't in the service industry or doing a side gig as a content creator.
This is a good question. This one comes in from Ava Thompson. What are some common off flavors or defects in beer, and how can they be identified during a tasting?
Band-Aid.
That's what I was just going to say. You mentioned that in a previous episode.
Like, every beer we made had this defect.
Band-Aid, skunking.
Right, like...
Like sun-spoiled.
Too sweet. Didn't let the yeast go far enough. One time... That wasn't with you. I think that was with Craig and John. We made something called arm beer because we stuck our arm in there.
Because you dropped your watch in there or something?
Something. I don't remember exactly what happened. Hopefully they will actually listen and tell me one day what we did.
What's this beer, Mike?
Oh, well, this beer. Oh, it's badass art, by the way. There is a ginger lady with incredibly immense flowing red locks and a lightning sword riding atop a vicious lion. And it's called Royal Standard Wee Heavy Ale.
Royal Standard Wee Heavy Ale. All
and if right. you ever read Marvel Comics, she kind of looks like Medusa.
Yeah.
With that red flowy hair. Kind of like capture you. And the lion looks a little bit like Aslan. Now, this has the same color profile. Yeah. More effervescence than the other two beers we just had.
Head died down quickly.
Yeah, it did not retain. A little bit soapy on the bubbles.
Don't get too much like hoppy nose. A little bit of maybe caramel.
I'm getting a slight sweet bouquet.
Yeah, yeah.
Woo! This thing, I bet you if you let this thing sit around for two more years, it would get even better.
This is pretty... This is a wee heavy... Which is generally a malty-style Scottish beer.
This is boozy and thick but tasting.
I feel like it's a little. It's pretty easy to drink.
Oh, it's easy to drink. Yeah, yeah. But I can feel. Like
you can feel the alcohol.
It's chewy.
Like I just got drunker.
Yeah.
My drunk meter went up one bar.
It's very effervescent, and like wee heavies are more like on the brown side.
And yeah, they're definitely malty side.
Yeah, this is not as heavy on the malt. It's more God, it's more like a Belgian.
Yeah.
I'm getting that yeast, right? Like, and it's got that sweet profile.
It tastes different than the last one that we had. Like, it's not pure malt backbone.
No.
What do they say? Brewed with Scottish Golden Promise barley malt. Royal Standard's deep malty fullness leads to a hint of floral tenderness. Ask yourself, who needs a reason to ride the lion? Is she riding a lion?
She is riding a lion. A very vicious looking lion.
Only one hop listed, Nugget Hops. 8% alcohols by volume.
Not getting any bitterness. Very good. It's well-balanced flavor, though.
Yeah, it's not like... That last one, I would say, was more malt in your face. This isn't as malty in your face.
That's easy drinking beer. I could drink lots of that. Before I know it, I could be in trouble and not be able to answer the harder mailbag
questions. All right. Let's go to another one. So this one's very similar to the first one. How does the choice of ingredients, such as hops and malt, affect the taste of beer? Luna Patel asked that one. We kind of answered that in the first one.
Yeah. And we played with it. I remember, you know... if you go into our past catalog, we've had guests Matt and David and Gabriel, and they were brewers, and they were artisan brewers, and they would do some of these things, and they'd play with rye, or some of the Belgians we've had where they use rock candy.
Yep.
And you would get those profiles. And that goes back to the question of, like, what are our favorite types of beers? And, like, if you're going to try those things and put in some really quality ingredients, and if you follow the rules, you're going to get a good beverage at the end of it.
Yeah. Sanitation is, like, 99% of brewing.
Oh, that's the worst part of it. This is why neither Chris nor I are professional brewers or work for a brewery.
Come to our houses and you'll understand why.
Right. I just barely cleaned my... Yes. And... every time we went on these tours, because we've been doing this now for over a decade, we hear that consistently. Clean, 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 clean.
Being a good brewer is 99% being a good janitor.
Yeah. You got to wash. And
the rest is the art and science.
Attention to detail on the timing.
Yeah.
The art is in the ingredients, but the science is in everything else. And I don't have...
The art isn't the...
I have all the wrong skills for that. I'm a better drinker than I am a creator.
Speaking of which, this next question that came in from Zane Kim. What are some tips for properly tasting and evaluating beer, including aroma, appearance, flavor, and mouthfeel? And by the way, we are not Cicerones.
We are not.
But we can tell you... So we can't tell you the expert way about all of what you just asked for. But we can tell you kind of how we did it. How we do it for the podcast. First, as you all know, we evaluate the color. the head, the consistency, what is the beer doing? Is the head dropping right away? Do we see bubbles coming up, that type of thing?
Legs,
what is the color? Is it transparent? Can you see through it? Is it hazy? Is it like light straw? Is it dark straw? Does it like have a red tinge to it, and you maybe should go to the doctor if your pee looks like that?
All these beer
ruby
colors,
red color coming out of it.
They do imply dehydration of the provider.
And then we do a smell.
Yes.
Because a lot of tasting is smell.
Yes.
So we dip our nose into the beer and smell it. I like to do the drive-by.
If I may interject, we also try to find proper stemware.
Yes.
For the beer type so that we can unlock that aroma and that bouquet.
Yes. So you like a curved glass is nice to hold in the kind of aromas there. But I like to like do the drive-by where you move it back and forth.
What's better than roses on a piano?
What?
Tulips on an organ.
And you like agitate the beer when
you're doing the drive-by? A tulip-shaped glass brought on that comedy.
Right. And then we taste. And that's how we do it.
You can aerate like you do with wine.
You can do the...
But we're not that fancy, and we definitely don't have a spit bucket, because that's what makes our later episodes more entertaining, at least to us. Oh, yeah, another secret that we... Or another trick, or no, not trick. Another thing, another process we use is to let the beer warm up, because that does release some different flavor profiles.
Good point.
So... Yes. We will, on occasion, especially on, most kind of beers we do it too. It's like, does this beer's flavor profile change when it warms up? And now we have the assistance of our watches. And they tell us what to think and do sometimes.
Yeah, so we'll as we're going through a round of beers, we'll split the beer, we'll drink a portion of it. We'll leave a portion in the can, and we might come back and taste it as it's warmed up to get some different flavor profiles. Mike, this just came into our mailbag.
Speaking of spitting, swallowing, gets you around my mailbag.
All right. This question actually comes in live. From one of our
Mr. Lawson
podcaster buddies, someone who's been on the podcast before,
somebody who has his own podcast actually, which we are going to cross market and reference once publishes.
Mark asks us, "What's the most unique beer you've ever had, and what made it unique?"
Oh, is that to me? I was supposed to answer that.
I know. I have my answer.
All right, you go first.
Sam Adams Triple Bock.
Oh yeah, was that our first episode, or is that's an episode?
One of our video podcasts. We tried that beer. It's a beer. I mean, it's unique because I carried it around for 20 years. It's no longer produced, I don't believe.
Came in a really badass blue bottle.
It was in a cool blue bottle with a cork. It was made. It was the most high alcohol beer at the time.
It was very,
and
very,
we drank it together
when it first came out.
We drank it together when we first came out. We drank it together 20 years later.
Yes.
That was the most unique beer I've ever had. How about you? There's probably a more unique beer style, like those Dogfish ones we talked about. But that one for me, like, takes a
good... I agree. I don't think I can top that. I can tell you the most unique beer we didn't taste. One of those Grail beers, I think it was at the Westphalia.
Westphalia 12.
Yeah, that we had an opportunity. Somebody was going to hook us up.
What the hell?
And share with us. I know, I totally fucked it up. And he's like, "Listen, dude, I'm moving. We got to do this before I move." And in an interesting tidbit, I reached out to him after 5.5 years. I didn't ask him about the beer, but I did just say, "How are you doing?" And he just had a newborn child, so... his firstborn. He had a son. So he's doing well. But we did miss out on that great opportunity to have one of the Grail beers of the world.
So as a follow-up, and this is kind of related, another question from Mark. He had two questions. The follow-up was, what's the nastiest, worst beer you've ever had? And it might have been that Samuel. Adams Triple Buck. No, I think I've had some nastier beers.
I've had nastier beers. Like when I first had
maybe some of those Dogfish Head beers. Oh, like a dirty sock, toilet, sour.
Like it tasted literally like garbage juice.
Yeah.
And like I was like, that tastes like when like... I vomit and I kick it back up in my mouth.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Those were the and another what's another nasty one? The spit beer. The 2,000-year-old recipe made with saliva, like that beer, I was just like, this is god awful. I can't even remember which it was like an old like a Mayan recipe or something like that. That was terrible. I've got one for you, Chris, from the mailbag.
Yeah.
If the Three Stooges could fly like Superman, do you think they would have been as popular? So quick question. Who are the Three Stooges and popular? When did we start getting people from the 1940s listening to our podcast?
Yeah, this is an older fellow it must be from.
This sounds like
Brendan. That's an older feller sounding name.
An old Irishman, perhaps. I think Americans are the Three Stooges.
Do you think they would have been as popular if they could fly? So, like, being able to fly would make them...
They were popular because, as I recall from the YouTube videos, they were impervious to pain. Or they felt pain, but they never really got hurt.
Yes.
There was a lot of slapping.
Yes. No, I don't believe they would have. I think part of the comedy from the Three Stooges comes from the fact that they're just normal people. And so if they could fly and they were super, they wouldn't have been as popular.
Yeah, they would take out the...
Take away the
slapsticky thing.
Yeah.
I think you're right.
Well, thanks for that question, Brendan.
Excellent.
All right, should we drink the... Is this the last beer? We have one more beer?
We have one more to go in our flight.
Let's do the other one.
Let's do one more.
We're at time already. All right, guys. The next beer is One Man Holiday, a Belgian-style quadruple ale.
Ooh, a quad.
Quadruple. From Clown Shoes Beer Co.
I see where they're going with this because there's a Christmas tree, a... bat, an Easter bunny being carried by a leprechaun, and a cupid, and a pumpkin-headed thing riding a reindeer with a New Year's sunglasses. It's a very interesting, there's a turkey wearing a St. Patty's Day hat. Oh, it's just all blended together.
It's like one of those guys that plays all the instruments, but he's doing all the holidays.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
That same hazy color. I don't think they do much filtering in this brewery. Darker.
I think if we poured all four of these beers out, put them right next to each other.
There would just be different shades of colors, but otherwise the same.
Yeah. Exactly.
Sorry for finishing your sentence.
Well, no. The first and the fourth have the better head. Again, tight white bubbles. Nice head holding a little longer than the other two. I just literally inhaled the beer.
You don't snort beer.
Oh God. Well, it's very, very. I got the mash there.
Yeah.
Very grainy. Once it goes straight up your nose.
Not a lot on the nose for me.
Ooh. Okay, so that is completely mellow. It's on the verge of being like an iced tea.
Yes.
Right? It's
like if it didn't have the alcohol, this and the effervescence, this could be an iced tea.
Yeah. It tastes like a sweet tea.
Yes. Yes.
Because it has a little bit of that.
What was the style of this? Oh, it's a quad. Belgian style quad. That makes sense.
Yeah. And it's got the sweetness, like the candy part, but it's got a little bit of the bitter, the leafy, herby of a tea. I like it, though.
All right. A couple more questions. What are some emerging trends or innovations in the world of craft beer that are influencing flavor profiles? That's from Finley Murphy.
Well, I have to defer to you. You spend more time in breweries lately than I, but
I mean, it's so hard to know what's the latest. I mean, we had sours, we had milkshake IPAs.
That's where I was going to go. Lactose. IPAs,
we had hazies in New England's. We had, I don't know, like, what's the most recent trend?
I think the most recent trend is getting away from beers altogether and going with these other fermented types like...
Kombucha?
Kombucha, but that's non-alcoholic. But I think more of the hard seltzer. I'm seeing a lot more of that. And cider?
Yes.
Like, I think, you know, the old fogies that we are don't like that necessarily sweet profile, so we gear towards that bitter.
There are some really good dry ciders, though. Like, I love me a good dry cider. And there was actually a place up northwest of Baltimore that did
cider.
A hopped dry cider. It's really delicious.
Now,
that place is closed, though.
Because they made hop ciders or because of COVID?
It closed way before COVID.
Okay.
So it closed before we moved.
Nobody liked hop cider then. I will say that, you know, true to form, don't have a lot of details, just general concepts. But having been connected to the agency that labels and permits and taxes alcohol, there is this debate as there was a rise of ciders. Like, is it a fruit wine, or is it a cider, or is it a fruit infused alcohol? And like the differences of what that is had implications on all of those regulations, taxes, etc. So it is kind of interesting how that goes. And now, with some states legalizing a cousin of hops, there's, you know, cannabis-infused beverages. And, you know, are those illegal drugs? Are those beers? Are they going to be considered teas or ciders or what? Or kombucha? I don't know. But all this stuff remains to be defined once it's legalized federally.
Yes. Let's see. One more. We'll take one last one from the mailbag. How does the serving temperature of beer impact its taste, and what are some best practices for serving, storing, different styles of beer? That's from Esma Johnson. We sort of we answered this a little bit.
Well, you know, that
about was tasting and letting them warm, but maybe the storage aspect of it.
Also, I would say that's a big depends. Because the answer to that question, like, you know, you've been to Europe, right? There are certain beers that are room temperature.
Yeah.
Bitters are not chilled. Lagers are supposed to be kept, you know, under 40 degrees.
One more from the mailbag, Mike, because I think this question is just freaking brilliant. Have you ever tasted a beer that made you question the meaning of life? Like, why do we even bother with anything else when this beer exists?
Yes.
Wait, that question was from Willow Thompson.
Willow Thompson?
Yeah.
Is that the one like, I get my hair back and forth? Or no, that's Willow Smith.
Yeah. That was the first name. I got that part right.
So wait, what's the question again?
Have you ever tasted a beer that made you question the meaning of life? Like, why don't we even bother with anything else when this beer exists? And I'll tell you my answer before you answer.
Okay.
That's the purpose of beer.
I was going to say, like, pretty much every third beer at every brewery I've ever been to. It's not the first one, not the second, but by the third one, I'm like...
You're like, right. Nothing else in this
world... We did not rehearse this, but I agree.
Nothing else in this world matters. Like... I just want to be here in this moment, enjoying this light
sun
beer fuzz,
buzz.
Like, my job doesn't matter. Really, it's not that important. You know, like, enjoy your day. Enjoy who you're hanging out with. Enjoy your family.
You can be eminently present.
Yes.
When you're at a brewery on your third beer.
That's what I
Nothing else is happening.
About the beer buzz. That feeling.
Yes.
Like, you, just everything fades.
Yeah.
Other than that feeling of just like, this is the best feeling ever.
Right.
And I'm about at that point right now.
And you cannot overdo it because then you start wanting to eat fried foods and feeling a little queasy. And
things start spinning and stuff like that. And then you feel but terrible. It's that three beer buzz. At like especially at a craft brewery, right? Like where you've tasted different flavors and stuff and it's got enough alcohol in it.
There are a ton of studies though that like the atmosphere you are in adds to your experience.
Yes.
And if you are having a good time and you're surrounded, but that's the other thing is like even though there's an association between drinking beer and fisticuffs.
Yeah.
I've never, ever seen a fight at a craft brew pub.
No.
Never. I've seen them at dive bars.
Yes.
But I think that's mostly because people are drinking hard alcohol and are really miserable. They're there with a purpose.
They're messed up at the
they
beginning.
They want to feel...
When they went in the door, they were messed up.
Right. They wanted to feel alive by feeling pain. And that's why they're looking for either... physical or but at a craft brewery, like that's why they start bringing dogs and children there.
Yeah,
because like I'd be so much happier if I was surrounded by my family, but I could still get this three beer buzz.
Yeah,
that's and I do think that is the secret to peace on earth.
This might be the meaning of life, guys.
I think that
like call it CNBC episode 115.
Done.
The meaning of life.
Existential reality.
That's the title.
Nothing
future
left to say.
Future Chris, this is the title. The meaning of life.
Meaning of life.
Well, that's a great way to end this episode.
I don't know what to say now.
Yeah, the beers we had tonight were Clown Shoes. I think we started with the Cosmic Waffle, Belgian style IPA. Then we went to the Space Cake Double IPA. One Man Holiday Belgian Style Quad was the last one we had, but we also...
See, Quad, four, last, fourth of four.
Before that, we had the Wee Heavy Ale.
So three out of four of these had a Belgian, Netherlands type feel, space cakey thing. And
one
of them
these guys
was from
would
Scotland.
You pick?
I gotta say, I like the Quad and the Wee Heavy.
I would say actually none of these were huge standouts for me.
Really? I liked all of them.
But I like the Quad. I think I would go with the Quad.
All right. I like the Wheat Heavy, then the Quad.
All right, guys. We run out of stuff to say this episode because
we've blown our minds and we're trying to recover.
What I will say is thank you for everyone that sent in those questions.
Absolutely.
Especially the real humans that did, like Mark and Brendan.
Yes.
And the ChatGPT that's in
thrust. Spoiler! Thanks for listening to CNBC episode 115. You can subscribe to our podcast feed in iTunes or get the podcast directly from our host at cnbcpodcast.com. And from our mailbag, you can...
email us at cnbcpodcast@gmail.com so we can get some real questions.
We want real feedback.
Human beings. By the way, ChatGPT is kind of funny.
It is. Good sense of humor. No need for humans anymore.
We also have Facebook.com/CNBC Podcast, YouTube.com/CNBC Podcast.
Can you try putting a space between your words?
I think Mike and I are about to do a video episode that's going to be dangerously...
entertaining.
Good.
And before we do that, let me give you a quote.
Wait, Twitter... at CNBC Podcast.
And one day, TikTok, if it's not banned. All right. I'm going to do my best attempt at doing an impersonation of a famous artist.
Let's hear it.
This is from Arnold Schwarzenegger. Milk is for babies. When you grow up, you have to drink beer.
Cheers.
Cheers, drink
beer. And not just drink beer, but drink...
beer!
Good beer.
Drink good beer. Oh, drink, shit, yeah.
Drink good beer!
Drink good beer!
That was horrible. Let's try that one again.
Alright, let's try that again. Say it again.
Drink...
No. You can't just drink beer.
You have to drink...
good beer.
Yes.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Ringleader dazzles gets the lion to roar. And we're stuck in a world.
Ask a Beer podcast.
This sounds like we're setting ourselves up and making this up as we go along.
But I'll edit this part out.
Oh, I see. But I'm doing all my good comedy. I'm wasting it. From all around they stop and stare. What else would somebody ask as a podcast?
About beer.
Have you guys ever had sex with a female? I'm pretty sure that's one of the questions we get.
It's definitely on the mind of the listeners. These guys have never been laid.
I can see why the other one is divorced. But
I mean, I can tell you all guys from experience, Mike is not a spitter.
Back to that original question. Have you guys ever met a female?